What do Obama, Biden, and Trump all have in common? They attended private schools chosen by their parents. On average, taxpayers spend $15,424 per student on K-12 public education. The American Federation for Children believes that all families, especially lower-income families, should have the right to use those tax dollars to give their child the best education environment that meets their needs, whether that's a public, private, home, or virtual education. Go to fundmychildnow.com and sign the petition there if you agree.
The world is a complicated place. You need someone to expose the political fakers, fixers, and takers, and to cut through the mindless chatter and misdirection to help you make sense of it all. That person is Dan Proft, and this is the Dan Proft Show.
Welcome back. I'm Scott Shelby, in for Dan Proft. This is the Dan Proft Show. I'm otherwise known as the Cow Guy, as corny as that may sound, but I wear a black and white jacket for commenting on the business news, mostly Fox Business, which will tell you that I'm probably a little bit right-leaning. But anyway, we'll get to the bottom of that soon here. But what I'd like to do is introduce our next guest, James Bovard. James is the author of 10 books, member of the USA Today Board of Contributors, a frequent contributor to The Hill, and a contributing editor for the American Conservative. I'd like to welcome James to the show, and we can just jump right in on some of these COVID regulations.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate that.
No problem. I was able to read what you penned, very interesting. And I'll just say this. I mean, you probably already know where I stand, what's been happening to us since March of this year is just been nothing less than stupendous when it comes to how badly things have been handled, if you ask me. But your thoughts, loco moco, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm writing about, I live in Montgomery County, Maryland, which is the most liberal county in Maryland, which is a Democratic state. And Montgomery County has been doing one stupid thing after another since the pandemic started. Back in August, the county shut down the schools back in March. In August, the Catholic and Jewish and other private schools were getting ready to reopen, but the county health czar dictated that they had to shut down because there was a tiny chance that someone might get sick, basically. The Governor Hogan, a Republican governor here, overturned the county, and the private schools are doing great, but the public schools are still shut down. And last Thursday, the government finally admitted that the so-called distance learning has been a facade. There's been an over 500% increase in the number of black students failing mathematics, 600% increase in the number of Hispanic students failing. And this is here in a county that's always bragging about how it's going to close the achievement gap. But this is the worst thing to happen to black students since the end of school segregation almost 50 years ago here, 60 years ago.
There was something, too, written about Chicago because of the students that were now not remote learning, but just out on the street. The number of deaths of those under the age of 19 has just skyrocketed. Something like 109 deaths from 19 years old and under, which normally would have been, not to say that the deaths took place during school hours, but These people just, these kids were just, unhinged is probably too strong of a word, but they were just, they had no rudder, put it that way, right? We didn't have the regimen of school and having to do homework and the things that you have to be accountable for in your average everyday life as a student. So it's interesting to see how this is affecting all types of students. And then obviously the suicide rate and those things that has also skyrocketed. And when you have, I wrote about this in March of this year, I was on a rant on television where I said, you don't have a market if you don't have an economy. And you don't have a healthcare system if you don't have it. I mean, the poorest, poor countries have poor healthcare. Rich countries have great healthcare. I mean, that's just the way it is. And so by damaging our economy like the government did, whether you're Republican or Democrat, it doesn't matter, that has a knock-on effect to the health of its constituency. And then on top of that, you take these kids out of school where, I don't know about you, James, but we were all worried about everybody safe. Everything's done in the guise of safety nowadays, and we didn't want these kids going back to school because we wanted to keep everybody safe. But now, even when you've got mainstream media talking about shattering records as far as spikes and cases and rises and this, and just trying to still scare you with the hyperbole, they're sending kids back to school because they just can't ignore the number. They can't ignore the facts anymore, and the facts are that these kids are safer there.
Yep. There are some places that are sending the kids back. Other places are not. Around here, they aren't. But it's interesting that the liberal politicians whose policies have done so much to devastate low-income and minority students here, that's not going to stop them for a moment from preaching about, again, next year closing the achievement gap. They'll probably claim, well, you know, the achievement gap got bigger, so we need a property tax increase in order to close it. They've been promising to close it for over 40 years, and it's as big as ever right now, I think. But it's sad to see that the media has been so docile for the most point.
Complicit.
Most part. It hasn't looked at, it's simply taken politicians at their word. It has joined the fear-mongering. That's one of the things that strikes me around here is that, people, there's an old saying that people learn to hate what they fear. And there's been so much fear-mongering, and there's instant hatred here of anybody who doesn't comply with the latest edict. It doesn't matter if it's a stupid edict that says your face mask now has to cover your chin. It doesn't make any sense. But folks are just, folks are clinging to the hope the government is going to save them. It doesn't matter how many dumb things the government does.
And, it's funny. There was a time in March, April, maybe even May-ish, when you heard that somebody came down with the coronavirus. The oxygen would leave the room for the gasp of people like, oh my gosh. But, as time has gone on, and we've realized that say you're under the age of 60, you have a 99.96% chance of surviving the virus. We don't see the air leave the room when we talk about University of Maryland having to cancel a football game because a couple of kids on the university team came down with COVID. We all just assume that the kids will be on the field next week and they'll just be fine, right? So we've come a long way when it comes to fearing the virus, but it doesn't seem like any of the rules have changed along the way when we've come to know what we're dealing with more, right? So, yeah, we should have people be a little bit looked after more in these old folks' homes or places where older people can gather. But at the same time, if bars are smart and schools are smart, if Menards can do it, so can the small pizza joint around the corner. Everybody should be able to make their own decisions and choices given the information and go on with life. And, hey,
yep.
If you don't want to get sick, I got an idea. Don't go outside. If you don't want to get in a car accident, I got an idea. Don't drive a car. I mean, sometimes common sense rules the day, and it seems like we've tried to take that away so that we can control people.
Yep. Well, there was one of my favorite sayings from Thoreau was, a man sits as many risks as he runs. And this is something that's been forgotten by these policymakers who assume that lockdowns are going to have a net benefit and simply, it's definitely not double entry bookkeeping because they simply exclude all the damage. And one of the biggest damages is the loss of freedom and the loss of the sense of freedom. There's a lot of things I disagree with Attorney General Bill Barr on, but Barr was called it right when he said that these massive lockdowns are the biggest violations of civil liberties in America since the end of slavery in 1865. So, but it's almost never framed that way. Instead, it's the people who want to step outside are called selfish and grandma killers.
Do you think America has become soft? I mean,
well, that's a rough question. Oh, that's a rough one.
I know it is, and I'm hesitant. I'll tell you what. I'll go on there. I say it has. All right. So I'm 55 years old. My grandfather fought in World War II, and I sometimes feel now that we've got kids hiding underneath the desk in fear of getting a virus that's got a 99.97% chance of, surviving. But I can't help. I've got a British passport. I lived in England for 16 years, and all I've got is the picture of those kids, the 18 to 20-year-old kids getting off those people movers in the middle of the water, rushing the beaches of Normandy. I mean, we can't assess. The risk assessment is so different nowadays.
Well, yeah, I mean, folks, it's almost as if people's common sense has been schooled out of them, both by the government schools and by the media. And, you know, during the presidential campaign, you had Joe Biden consistently overstating the number of COVID fatalities by 100-fold or 1,000-fold. And the media would say, oh, well, you know, that's just a glitch. That's a slip. No, it happened again and again. It was a huge, you know, there was a lot of fear-mongering basically to try to blame Trump for everyone that died from COVID. And it's right. Like, you know, Trump made a lot of mistakes, but and there were a lot of mistakes with the administration's COVID response. But the whole idea that somebody else would have done it perfectly is nonsense, because you look at a lot of the Western European countries that were a lot more aggressive, and they've still gotten walloped with huge death rates.
Right, and we're going to take a quick break. But before we go, I wanted to be like Lucy and have a little psychological stand. I could give out advice, right? And for today's youth, or at least the folks like 20 to 35, I would say, I would like you to go watch Hacksaw Ridge 8 times, followed up by 2 Cinderella Mans. And then once you've seen those, you'll really understand what real risk is. So stay right there, James. We'll be right back after the break.
Seat and sharpen your pencils. Class is in session with Professor Dan Proft and the Dan Proft Show.
Okay, well, welcome back to the Dan Proft Show. I'm Scott Sheldy, otherwise known as the Cow Guy. We've been lucky to have with us James Bovard. He's the author of 10 books. He's a member of the USA Today Board of Contributors, a frequent contributor to The Hill, and a contributing editor for the American Conservative. We've been talking everything COVID regulation, and especially James has got something in his own backyard with, I think you said, Montgomery County. Interesting to see how I say that this is going to scar Americans for a while here. We've got some pretty big damage that's been done to the American psyche. What do you think?
Yeah, there's damage to the psyche. There's damage to the economy. There's damage... There's a lot of hidden damage to people's health, both physical and mental. But perhaps the greatest damage will be if people are taught from this that they have to trust government to save them, and that people need to be to give more deference to the local bureaucrats and the enforcement officers, and any tin-horned politician who tells them that their freedom is going to kill their neighbor. I mean, to see how the demagoguery has succeeded in this. And I also want to make clear, I'm not someone who says it's just a common cold. This stuff, this is a virus that can be very dangerous. Folks need to be more cautious than they were before, but that might mean simply staying away from groups and avoiding handshaking. So,
and staying away from elderly groups and shaking
elderly
hands.
Groups.
I mean,
and,
there's some things that are pretty commonsensical. And
yeah.
And if I just feel like we never get the full story, right? Because when
that's putting it kindly.
Yeah, right. So in the middle of the summer when Italy was the hotbed of the coronavirus globally, right? If you remember that.
Uh-huh.
And then when it finally came out that the average age of death was 80. Now, yep. I'm not to make, light of anybody that dies, even if they're 80, but at the same time that would have been useful information when you were telling me it's the hotspot of the world.
Well, it would have been something I'm always hearing from politicians around here is that that every dictate that they issue is sacrosanct because they're the ones that rely on data and science. However, most of the data is crap, and the science changes every 2 to 3 weeks. And we've had so many flip-flops in the scientific guidance. It's like, as you said, better to go with common sense, simple precautions. Pay attention to your health as well. But, the whole idea that there is this class of wise people who are so much smarter that they deserve dictatorial power over everybody else, that's something that this pandemic should have disproved. However, that's not the lesson the media is drawing.
No, we've all fallen asleep and gone into this deep, like, Stockholm syndrome, right, where people are suddenly allowed out of their houses, and they're thanking people for that, right? When we're not even sure that
you're a hero.
Yeah, right.
You're a hero.
We're not even sure that it was legal in the first place, but we're still now we're calling you a hero on something that might be illegal with these 30-day orders. I mean, to me, it's just been, I started off by saying And people, I was roundly criticized when we had these counties across the country that were kind of coming out of lockdown, right? So one county would come out of lockdown, and there would be another county that was still kind of locked down. And I said, never in my – I'm 55 years old, and never in my wildest dreams did I ever think in my America – on one side of the street, a haircut and a burger was legal, and the other side of the street, it wasn't. And people said that that was inflammatory then. It's only gotten 10 times worse now, right? Because and the only way that you can have a bunch of people around at your Thanksgiving dinner is to make sure that you make reservations for 12 at Menards, at 7 o'clock at night. Then all of a sudden the virus won't be there, because the coronavirus is very smart. It only comes out after 10 o'clock at night, so you can drink until 10, and as long as you go home, you're not going to get sick. I mean, these measures are not only draconian; they are. They're fanciful. I mean, it's a joke, and I think that's where a lot of Americans really fall off the wagon with it.
I agree. There was a story which I did a couple of weeks ago for the Libertarian Institute, looking at some of the guidance that some of the local and state health departments have given people for sexual practices during the pandemic, and it was a lot of it's really bizarre. And you know, I probably shouldn't go to it on this family-oriented program.
Well, we can only use our imaginations. But, you know, I've talked about with Garcetti, with the new orders that he just instituted out in California, Los Angeles. And
yeah, bizarre. Utterly bizarre. Banning walking.
And bicycling. I mean, the last one that got me, I don't know, people aren't really, I guess they don't think it's as big of a deal as I do, but when he actually put it in writing and spoke it, that the stay-at-home order goes into effect, X date at this time. Obviously, those that are homeless don't have to abide by the stay-at-home order. I thought, is that a joke? I mean, did he actually think he had to say that? I mean, this is where, to your point, you almost said it, you were a lot nicer about it than I would have been, but all of a sudden we're supposed to think that these guys are the smartest guys in the room? I mean, I don't know about you, I got out of University of Colorado finance degree, all the smart guys in my class got good jobs and made decent money. And then the rest of them, maybe they went and canvassed for their local aldermen, and all of a sudden they're running for president. Who knows? But I tell you what, had they been able to get those jobs, they would have, and they would not have gone into politics. And now we're deferring to these guys that couldn't get the good job 35 years ago. That's what drives me crazy.
Well, yeah. I mean, I talk about dumb regulations. There was a similar regulation they issued here in Montgomery County saying that people had to wear a mask anytime they were outside. And there was some controversy, so what they did is issue a clarification and said that if someone is driving in their car by themselves, they don't need to wear a mask. And I'm thinking,
I can sleep now. Yeah.
And the folks who are writing these regulations are probably getting at least $130,000, $150,000 a year. And it's like,
that's
right. I don't know.
Yeah, Americans need to question some stuff and some stuff more often, and that's one of them. And I'll say this, when we had these restaurants come out of lockdown, and I was equally as critical of Trump and his administration, but these restaurants need 90% capacity to make money. By saying that you can open up to 25% capacity, just telling them you're going to go out of business slower.
Yep.
I mean, and I said to them, and I'll still say, I want to be in the room where these 80-year-old guys are sitting around thinking, then that's an okay rule. 50% is not an okay rule. Either you're open or you're not. And guess what? By the way, for those governments that are broke, ours is one of them, the best stimulus package, the best checks we could ever cut is just open up the economy and let people make their own minds up. If they don't want to get sick, don't go outside, or don't see anybody else that's been outside. How about that? That's called democracy, common sense. Walk away if you don't like it, or engage if you do. I don't know where we lost the ability to think like that.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of people who are able to think and have seen through the BS and are outraged. But to see how the media has vilified people who have protested the lockdowns, I mean, it's like they're a bunch of,
murderers,
a bunch of knuckle-dragging, boneheads.
Right. Well, I mean, they're bringing all of our health they're risking our health by defying these orders, and it's just absolutely insane. It really is, and that's the way they want to frame it, so that they can beat you up, because it's that cancel culture that kind of encompasses everything, and that's how they get people to acquiesce and follow the rules.
Yep, there are some days I almost become cynical.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, it's thoughts like that keep us all going, and I really appreciate James coming on Again, James Boulevard, author of 10 books, member of the USA Today Board of Contributors, a frequent contributor to The Hill, and a contributing editor for the American Conservative. Thank you very much, James. It's been great.
Hey, thanks. I enjoyed that.
All righty.
Exposing political fakers, fixers, and takers. He's Dan Proft, and this is The Dan Proft Show.